ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय नारायणं नमस्कृत्य नरं चैव नरोत्तमम् देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेषु अभद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवती उत्तम श्लोके भक्तिर भवती नैष्टिकी। श्रीमद् भागवतम वी आर डिस्कसिंग द फर्स्ट कैंटो फर्स्ट चैप्टर द फर्स्ट वर्स। दिस वर्स इज द इन्वोकेशन टू श्रीमद् भागवतम। Srila Vasudev, before compiling Srimad Bhagavatam, he is offering his invocation. He is explaining why he is meditating upon the Supreme Personality. He is very systematically established why the Supreme Personality of Godhead should be meditated upon, or why the Supreme Personality of Godhead should be the only object of our thought. The word meditation actually means focusing the mind into one object and keep it fixed on that. Mind has a natural tendency to think. It is like wherever there is consciousness, there must be thought. Wherever there is consciousness, there must be desire. And the thoughts are relative to the desires. We think about what we desire. And in relation to our desire, our thoughts become fixed. Like more we desire something, the more we become obsessed with that object or thing. So why Krishna should be the object of our meditation or the object of our thought? So in this verse, Srila Vasudev is explaining that. The verse goes like, Janmadasya jataha annayad itaratashcharthe swabhigya swarat tene brahmarida ja adikavaye मुहंति जत्सूरयः तेजो वाड़ी मृदांग जथा विनिमय यत्र त्रिसर्गमृषा धामना स्वेन सदा निरस्तकुहकं सत्यं परं धीमहि। वैष्णव इज एक्सप्लेनिंग दैट कृष्णा, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is Janmadasya Jataha. He is the cause of everything that has been created. He is the cause of maintenance of everything. Everything is maintained by Him, either directly or indirectly. But he is the supreme maintainer. So janmadasya, janma means birth or creation, and adi means etc. Birth or creation, etc. That actually indicates that etc. indicates birth and things related to birth. Janmadas. Things related to birth means anything that is born or anything that has been created must be maintained. And anything that has been created must, at some point in time, will be destroyed. Construction, maintenance, and demolition. Isn't that the nature of this material, material creation? We create something. Say, for example, this building has been built. It has been created at some point. And this building is continuing to exist, and in order to facilitate its continuity to exist, there must be maintenance. The roof is leaking, so it must be repaired. Some of the glasses in the windows have broken, so they have to be replaced. In this way, the maintenance needs to be taken care of. And especially with living beings, maintenance is a very troublesome business. A machine or a structure, like say for example, this building doesn't need much of a maintenance. But a human being, or even any other creature, to maintain itself, it takes so much endeavor. Like you have to have breakfast, you have to have lunch, you have to have dinner, you have to eat 3 times a day. Then if you get, and then along with that you need so many other facilities. In order to sleep at night you need a residence. Then in this way we can see the living entities, maintenance, very, very complex business. And then one becomes sick and he has to buy medicine. So many different considerations are there for maintenance. And Krishna is maintaining everything. Krishna is the creator. Although one may say, well, he was born from his parents, where did Krishna come in the picture? But the reality is that Krishna, although not directly involved in this creation, in our birth, but Krishna is the indirect cause of our creation. Like where did our fathers come from? Where did our mothers come from? They all came from Krishna. Therefore we may say that the cause of our birth is our father and mother, fathers and mothers, but actually Krishna is the cause of our fathers and mothers. So although not directly involved in our creation, is Krishna involved in our creation? Krishna created our fathers and mothers. Not only the fathers and mothers, Krishna created our grandfathers, grandmothers, great-grandfathers, and it goes all the way back to Brahma. And then we are in this universe. Who created the universe? Krishna created the universe. So Krishna is the cause of creation or birth of everyone, and Krishna is maintaining everything. Like our sustenance, our maintenance is very, very complex, very, very difficult. Say for example, every day we need food. Where does the food come from? Does the food come from a shop? Or does the food come from the vegetable market? Or even does the food come from the farmers? One may say, yes, the food is coming from the farmers. Although apparently the farmers are growing the food, but how does the food grow? Let us consider. A seed falls on the ground and it sprouts into a seedling. Then gradually it grows into a tree. Now we see a very strange phenomenon. A seed falls on the ground and from the seed the tree comes. Now who made this arrangement? And if we can go back also in one way, where did the seed come from? The seed comes from a fruit. The seeds come from respective fruits. But inside the seed, there is a tree, same fruits tree. Then that tree will grow and it'll give other fruits. It'll bear fruits. That tree will bear fruits. And in the fruits there will be seeds. And in the seeds there are trees. And when that seed is cultivated properly, then that seed from the fruit also will grow into another tree. So do we see such arrangement or such phenomena anywhere else? Anything that we create, does it have that kind of capacity? Like we created a motor car. We may manufacture a motor car, but will a male motor car and a female motor car give birth to a third baby motor car? No. But Krishna's creation is so wonderful that in the seed there is a tree. And in the tree there are innumerable fruits. And in those fruits there are innumerable seeds. And in each of those seeds there is a tree. So, or a husband and a man and a woman get married and then a child is born. So in this way, the creation takes place in such a wonderful way. And who is the cause of that wonderful arrangement? It's Krishna. Because no one else but Krishna can make such an arrangement. The seed comes out and falls on the ground and it becomes a tree. And in the tree there are innumerable fruits. And these fruits are the food for man. Or the tree bears various kinds of fruits and nuts. Or the tree itself is the food for man. Like a cabbage. It's actually a plant. But you cut the cabbage and cook the cabbage and offer it to Krishna and take it. So, who made these arrangements? Our foods have been so wonderfully arranged. So in this way, Krishna is maintaining us. Whatever we need, Krishna is providing. He made such wonderful arrangements. He made such an arrangement that although he is not directly involved, but continuously food will be there for mankind. Not only mankind, for all the living creatures. All the living creatures has his arrangement for his food. Krishna has made the arrangement. Then another need for that we have is water. How do we get water? What a beautiful arrangement Krishna made. There is, although a good part of this planet is full of water, but that water we cannot drink. Nor do we have the ability. If we needed the water, and if the water was available only from the ocean, then we had to stay by the ocean only, on the bank of the ocean, to get the water. Anyway, to begin with, we can't drink that water because it's full of salt. It's full of salt. That water is not possible for human consumption. So, Krishna made such a wonderful arrangement. Or let us not bring Krishna in the picture now. We need water and we are far away from the source of water like the ocean. And to begin with, we can't drink ocean water because it's full of salt. Now, the water from the ocean is made to evaporate by the rays of sun. The hot rays of sun makes the water evaporate. And when it is evaporated, then no foreign element can come into that water. It will be just plain water. Just pure water that is evaporated from the ocean and taken to the sky. And there this water vapor becomes cloud. And then these clouds are scattered all over the place. And then these clouds start to shower rain at different places. Isn't it? So this is how Krishna is taking care of the supply of water. Another of our need is air or oxygen. Although oxygen is everywhere, but when we take oxygen, we give out carbon dioxide. Oxygen is there in the atmosphere, but when we breathe in and breathe out, while we breathe in, we are taking the oxygen. When we breathe out, what we are giving out? When we breathe out, carbon dioxide. And carbon dioxide is not good for our breathing. We can't breathe carbon dioxide. So Krishna made the arrangement that trees and plants will take carbon dioxide and give out oxygen. Like we are taking oxygen, we need oxygen, but we give out carbon dioxide. Oxygen becomes carbon dioxide after we breathe and exhale. If this process continued, then there wouldn't have been any oxygen in the atmosphere. Isn't it? We just kept breathing, taking in oxygen and giving out carbon dioxide. So one day, the whole world atmosphere would have become filled with oxygen. Or impurities, oxygen with, the atmosphere would have been filled with carbon dioxide. But the trees and plants are taking the carbon dioxide, giving out oxygen. As a result of that, there is no shortage of oxygen for us, and there is no shortage of carbon dioxide for the trees. Now, who made this arrangement? Did somebody make this arrangement, or it just happened by chance? So, in this way, Krishna is making all the arrangements for our needs. All our needs are being taken care of by Krishna. And so Krishna is the maintainer and Krishna is the destroyer also. He destroys everything as Mahadeva, as Lord Shiva. Creation takes place by the arrangement of Brahma. By the effort of Brahma, creation takes place. Actually, original creation takes place due to Vishnu. The Lord creates originally by lying in the causal ocean. Then he creates the universes there, and then he enters in the universes as Garbhodukshay Vishnu, and then he becomes manifest as Kshirodukshay Vishnu. So in this way, Vishnu is the cause of creation, but the secondary creator is Brahma. Like if we consider that the house is built, and then after the house is built, the structure is built, then what happens? We need someone to come and put the fixtures and do the interior decoration. So Brahma is actually doing that, the job of the interior decoration. But Vishnu has done the, made the creation. So, in this way, the Lord is the cause of creation, maintenance, and destruction. He destroys when he sees that this universe has become old. Actually, the destruction takes place when Brahma dies. Brahma also has to die. So when Brahma dies, or when Brahma leaves his body, then the universe also dissolves. So that is how the universes are apparently dissolved. But the cause of the destruction of the universe is also Sri Krishna. So in this way, we have to recognize that Sri Krishna is directly or indirectly involved in the creation, maintenance, and destruction of everything in this material nature. So Krishna is Janmadasya Jataha. Creation, maintenance, and destruction, these three are caused by Krishna. Krishna is the cause of Janma Adi Asya, birth, maintenance, and destruction. Annayad Itarata Shtarthi Shabhikoshara. And Krishna knows everything. He is situated in everyone's heart, therefore he knows everything. So Krishna is not only the cause of creation, maintenance, and destruction, but Krishna knows the heart of everyone. Annayad Itarata Shtarthi Shabhikyo, Shabhikyo, aware or conscious, and Sharat, he is completely independent. So Vyasadeva is explaining why he is meditating upon Krishna. And in this way he is explaining why should we meditate upon Krishna. Because Krishna is the cause of all causes. Krishna is the cause of creation, maintenance, and destruction. Krishna knows everything. Abhigya and Swarat, Krishna is completely independent. There is no one that Krishna is depending upon. Yeah, for his pastimes he may depend upon somebody. Like he came as the son of Nanda Maharaj and Mother Yashoda. So as that, Krishna is allowing someone to become his superior. But in reality, no one can become superior to Krishna. Krishna is the supreme, therefore he is completely independent. So Swarat. And so in this way, Vyasadeva is explaining why he is meditating upon Krishna before speaking on Srimad Bhagavatam. Because he is establishing the fact that Krishna is the supreme object of meditation. Janmadasya jato annayad itarata shchakte shabhiko sharat tene brahmarida ja adikavaye muihanti jatsuraya. He is the one who imparted the knowledge of the spiritual sky in the heart of Brahma. Tene brahmarida adikavai muihanti yatsura. And this knowledge is so bewildering that even the demigods become bewildered by it. All the exalted sages who are extremely exalted personalities, even they get bewildered by Krishna's illusory energy. He, the knowledge that he gave in the heart of Brahma causes bewilderment even to the demigods and exalted personalities like the great sages. And he has created this material nature, visible material nature. This nature is visible because of his creation with different modes. And people act in different modes. So, in this way the living entities or everything in this material nature are controlled by these three modes. Tene brahmarida jo adi kavai muihanti japsuraya. Even the demigods or exalted saintly personalities also become bewildered. Tene brahmarida adi kavai muihanti japsuraya. Tejo vari mridang jatha vinimayo trishargo amrisha. By the mixture, by mixing, tej means fire, body means water, and mridang means earth. By mixing these, he has created this material nature. Trishargo amrisha. And this material nature has three aspects. It's controlled by the three modes. And living entities are naturally bewildered by this material nature. But when one surrenders unto Krishna, he can very easily get out of this material nature. That is why surrendering unto Krishna is the most important consideration. That's why you'll find in Srimad Bhagavatam time and time again it has been established how important it is to surrender to Krishna. Why should we surrender unto Krishna? And everything is explaining the benefit of surrendering unto Krishna. Satam param dhimahi. I meditate upon that absolute truth, Sri Krishna. So in this way Vasudeva established that Krishna must be glorified. And that is what Srila Prabhupada taught us also. Krishna must be glorified, and Krishna's representative, Krishna's incarnation in this age, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he also. That is the goal of human form of life. Hare Krishna, does anybody have any question?
The question comes up, if we emulated this universe, naturally it is moving on to that point. So you think there is a self-correction for the solution?
Yeah, is the devotee his body or his soul? Is the
soul.
What is created?
In soul.
Is the soul created? No. His body is created. Right? So anything that has been created will be destroyed. So his body has been created, so the body will be destroyed. Krishna will not save the body, Krishna will save the soul. Okay? The body will be destroyed, but not the soul. And Krishna will protect the soul, save the soul, and bring the soul back to this lotus. But the body will be destroyed sooner or later. Either after 10 years or after 10,000 years, the body can be, body will be destroyed at some point. How Brahma? Brahma did not make the soul. Soul comes from the spiritual side. Who made what? Body is made by the arrangement of material nature. The body is made of matter. Right? Body is made of matter. So who controls the material energy? No, the matter, the material nature is control. Material elements are controlled by material Maya, Mahamaya. So this body has been arranged by Mahamaya. Alright. And this body is like a machine where the soul is situated. Like a motor car has been manufactured. The motor car has been manufactured by Ford. Right? But has the driver of the motor car been manufactured by Ford? Who manufactured the driver? So similarly, material nature makes the body. And in the body, the soul sits and drives the body, functions through the body. But the material nature didn't make the soul. So anything in this material nature is, needs to be created, maintained, and destroyed. Okay? So only material objects can be destroyed. Spiritual soul cannot be destroyed. And as you asked, who made that arrangement for the body? Soul to be in the body. This arrangement for the soul to be in the body has been arranged by material nature. That is directly, but indirectly it's Krishna. Because Krishna is controlling everything. Ultimately it's all Krishna's arrangement. But apparently it is controlled by material nature. The king decided to have a play. He told his ministers and other entourage to also take part in that play. And the king is playing on the stage. And sometimes it appears the king is afraid. Is it real? Or he is just playing the role? An act, like an actor he is playing the role. So leelas are like that. In past times, Krishna plays. Does Krishna has to become the son of Nanda Maharaj? Does he need to become? Yes? Why? Huh? Yeah, so if he's acting, then does he need to be? No. He doesn't need to be the son of Nanda Maharaj. But he is acting as the son of, as the son of God. That's called pastime. And why is he acting that way? Why is he act? Why did he decided to act like that as the son of Nandamohan? To give pleasure to his devotees. Just to give pleasure to his devotees, he acts. He performs his pastimes. Okay, and while he's performing his pastimes, yes, he's afraid. When he sees the stick in the mind of Mother Yashoda, he's afraid. Is it real? Is he really afraid? Or he's pretending to be afraid? He's acting like that. And he's such a good actor that when he acts, it becomes real. He really feels, you see. He really thinks that he's the son of Nanda Maharaj. And when he sees the sticks in the hand of Mother Yashoda, he really becomes afraid. And he begins to cry. It's not acting. In one hand it's acting, and on the other hand, it's real. He does become afraid. Or when he sees his father is in distress, he doesn't know what to do. My God, this huge snake has got hold of my father. This has been very beautifully demonstrated in Brihad Bhagavatamrita. One of the incidences in Brihad Bhagavatamrita that demonstrates that is Krishna became, when he was in Dwarka, he became very, very much afflicted due to his separation from Vrindavan. And he fainted. He was feeling the separation so deeply that he fainted. And recognizing his situation, Brahma instructed Vishwakarma to create a new Vrindavan. And he told Garuda to carry Krishna. Balaram also went with him. And Balaram dressed Krishna in his Vrindavan dress. In Dwarka he dresses differently. He's like, he's a prince there. But in Vrindavan, he's dressed as a cowherd boy. So Balaram, when Krishna fainted, then Balaram dressed him. When Brahma arranged that his new Vrindavan should be built and he should be taken to New Vrindavan. Then Balaram dressed Krishna up like a cowherd boy. Put a yellow dhoti, yellow chadar, and flower garlands, peacock feather on his head. He tucked a flute on his belt. And woke him up. Krishna, Krishna, wake up. When he was taken to New Vrindavan. New Vrindavan is a place where there are replica of the character personalities of Vrindavan. They're the dioramas, you can say, murtis of different individuals. And so he woke in New Vrindavan, he woke up Krishna. He said, Krishna, it's so late, get up. So Krishna woke up and he said, oh, I slept so late. I woke up so late today. And he told Balaram, hey Balaram, you know, I had a very strange dream. I was having a very strange dream. And I dreamt that I went to some place and I became a king there. And I got married to 16,000 girls. So Balaram said, anyway, don't worry about that. Now let's go. Everyone is waiting for you. It's so late. And so then Balaram. Then Krishna got up and he saw Mother Yashoda, and he thought that Mother Yashoda was angry with him. That's why she was not speaking. Just dragged him and pulled him along with him. And then finally Krishna came to the bank of the ocean of Dwarka. It's a new Dwarka was in an island, and on the other side he saw Dwarka. He said, "Hey Balaram, see, there's a big city on the other side of Jamuna. When did it come up?" So he saw a big Dwarka city, and he thought that on the other side of Jamuna a big city has come up. So then at that point Balaram told him, "Krishna, come on, you come to your senses. You know your friend is in trouble. She, although you have taken care of all the demons, but Jarasandha's allies are still now getting together to attack the Pandavas. So now you have to do something about it." So as soon as Krishna heard that, he became very, very angry and said, "Who is going to attack Pandavas? I'm going to take care. I'm going to kill all these demons. I have already taken care of all the demons. I killed many of them personally, and I have caused them to die in the battle of Kurukshetra. But still you are saying that other demons are trying to attack the Pandavas. I'll go and I'll take care of them." So this way Krishna then came back to his Dwarka mood. So the point is that when Krishna acts, he acts so well that he himself forgets. And that is also the arrangement of Jogamaya. Like a director directs an actor, and according to his direction, the actor acts. Now Jogamaya is the director, and she is such a good director. She trains Krishna up so well to play the role that Krishna himself forgets who he actually is. And he becomes the character in the play. So yes and no at the same time. When Krishna is playing the role, he forgets that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He just becomes the son of Nanda Maharaj. But we won't be able to understand all that until we go back to the spiritual sky and see how it's really happening. From this point, we can only, from this platform, we can only speculate. Or get some understanding from the scriptures.